The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Brad and I have the privilege of traveling worldwide, and we see and participate and love different pieces of the body in many different ways. And not everyone gets to experience this. You're the living stones. Some of our people are in hiding. Some of our brothers and sisters are in jail. And you have such beautiful freedom to express Christ all over the earth from right here. And I'm a little undone, so I like to look at you like this. We're the body of Christ, so we're family. So I just want to be real. I'm not professional. I'm not a professional Christian. Can't do it. I'm a mama that loves and that God has given many children to. And my husband and I have an organization called Gather One. We have a goal and a vision to bring lost sons and daughters home. And several years ago, we just offered our lives up with the Lord and said, whatever you want. It wasn't in an emotional moment. It was just a very real, heartfelt, our lives are not our own. What do you want? We were helping to pastor a church. And he said, okay, I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to put you over here in a very dark place, and you're going to be my light and you're going to learn how to shine. We didn't have a lot of training. So we've been tried by fire. We've had everything from bullets flying over our head to armed militia surrounding us, to malaria 4 or 5 times. Life happens. But he's the miracle maker. I get really happy just thinking about that, because you can't stop this thing called the love of Jesus Christ. And I want to present to you what is possible. We have these jars of clay that are filled with the very precious Holy Spirit of God. What is possible in your life? He's limitless. And Brad and I try to stretch as far as we can stretch. And years ago, he gave us 7 nations. He said, I want you to go into 7 nations. And at the time, we were in the land of Cush, which is Ethiopia and South Sudan. We've been working with South Sudanese refugees. And our town has about 450,000 refugees. You can see it as a dark place, or you can see it as a land of opportunity. And that's where we've been. We have a children's village that we're building. There are thousands and thousands of orphans there, and we want to take care of 200. And so we have a staff there. Our vision is to raise up the nationals to do the work of the ministry so that we can pick up and go somewhere else and begin again. So we are currently with displaced people groups, and we're going to show you a video here. We've been with people groups from the Mideast. We've been with people who have been attacked by ISIS. We've been with people of other faiths, other beliefs, and they're crying out for this Lord Jesus that we know. And so I see what's happening with the Mideast and the wars that are taking place, and people are being driven from their homes as an opportunity to show up not to make converts. Converts will run in the persecution. Disciples will die for their Lord. Sons and daughters. So whether it's one or 100, we'll go across the earth and we'll find them. We have young men who are heroin addicts who have never known any other lifestyle. They were born into the tunnels of Bucharest, Romania. They've been addicted since they were 5. They don't know how to live this Christian life. But why should we not go there and walk with them and help them? We're also called to Somalia, Yemen, Israel. Those are on the horizon, Egypt. And we're looking for a company of people who will run with us. Just last season, we planted a discipleship center. We've been working in the refugee camps in Greece. And we planted a discipleship center there so that Iranian believers that love Jesus can come into a safe place, because you can't do that when you're surrounded by Muslims, and you can't do that when you're surrounded by ISIS. You can't pray real loud. You can't worship. You can't have fellowship. So we created a place where they can come to. It's called the Abana House. It means our Father in Arabic. And we have 20 believers that are meeting there, being discipled, that someday will go back to their nation. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the fastest growing church in the world right now is the church in Iran. And it is a movement. And it's being led by women. Just a video. We watched a video the other night called Sheep Amongst Wolves. You can find it on YouTube. And in there was a masked over voice, because they don't want to be known. They can't be known. And it was the voice of this woman who said, I've talked to my husband. We've settled this issue. And it's about 80% sure that when we leave our homes, we may not come back. And we've settled that. And for women, they meet horrendous violence. There's children in the room, so I won't go into that. But they meet violence. And they said, if that happens to us, we have decided in our hearts that we will offer our bodies as a sacrifice to God, so that we might win our captors. That makes you think, doesn't it? So we're kind of intense people, because our world is a little intense. And I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for the joy of the Lord, if it wasn't for the love of God and His presence, we may take this false burden on ourselves and crumble under it. I'm not offering them Kim Campbell. I'm offering them Jesus Christ. And He is the hope and the only solution in this world. He always has been. So we're going to show this video. The reason that Brad and I put this together is we've been doing this for a while now, and we have a significant number of people who come to us and they say, we had no idea that was going on. Because we have a tendency to just, if it doesn't affect us, I don't want to look up because I've got my own stuff to deal with. But I always think Jesus would do something. And so what we do is we run into those dark places and we just love the one that's in front of us. Heidi Baker's been saying that for years. Is it comfortable? No. I'm so uncomfortable sometimes. I don't speak the language. I don't like the food. It's blah, 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 blah. I want to be home with my grandkids. But I feel God calling us, and we want people to run with us. Whether it's short term, long term, We're going to have a table out back. You can come talk to us. But if the Lord touches your heart, I want you to pay attention to that. So we're going to start with a lot of statistics and time to think about what is being said. Like Americans, we're so saturated with technology and movement that we're always looking for the next thing. Our minds are already going into the lunch hour. And I want you to read the words on the screen and think about what's happening there. Think about if you had 15 seconds to grab the most valuable thing to you and run for the rest of your life, what would you take? What would you do? And how would you begin again? And I think you can see that we need to present Christ to the world. One of the comments that we hear a lot is, you've given up so much. And Brad and I don't see it like that. We've gained so much. We have family worldwide. We get to sit with brothers and sisters, no matter what their condition, no matter what their denomination. And we get to experience the love of Christ everywhere we go. So I wanted to just give a snapshot of our world and who we are. And my husband's going to fill in the blanks. And he's my anchor a lot of times. I love you so much, honey. Thank you.
Am I on? I'm on. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for having us here. We just we love you guys, and we love this house, and we love what you're all doing here, and we love what God is doing here. And we're really grateful to be here this morning. So thank you. I'm going to try to fill in some blanks. I don't know if I can. Jesus is Lord, so we're following him. And that's really the bottom line. That's got to be our starting place. It's got to be our ending place, is that we follow him. If we're doing anything other than that, if we're trying to build a church, if we're trying to build a ministry, if we're trying to do anything other than following Jesus, we're going to fail. Because his main instruction was to follow him. He said he would build the church. We don't have to build a ministry. We're not trying to figure things out. We just follow him. So then it becomes a matter of what he's doing. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And so then he did that. How hard is that? How hard is it to just ask the Lord what he's doing today so that we can begin to do that too? God, show me what you're doing today. You know, we got the call to go to Africa, but then it took us 4 years to get there. Well, what do you do in the meantime? Surf channels? I mean, in the midst of preparation, in the midst of being prepared to go, there are things that the Lord is doing, and we've got to, we always have to be on board with what he's doing. We're not waiting for something to happen so that we can get there. We're following him. Yeah. Everywhere that he's going. Does that make sense? My wife had said something about, because we do hear that comment a lot. People do say, wow, you've given up so much, especially when they see where we live in Africa. It's not the most luxurious accommodations, to say the least. In the dry season, every single day for at least 2 months, every day is 110 degrees. There's no air conditioning. If the electricity is working, we may have a fan at night or not. But it does cool off at night. I joke about this a lot. It does cool off to about 95 degrees. At 10 o'clock at night when it's bedtime, it does cool off to about 95 degrees inside the bedroom. So we've got that going for us. It's perfect sleeping weather. And that's really not the point. My wife was talking about, because people say that we gave up so much. And we don't have flushing toilets. We have essentially an outhouse that we share with 30 people. Plus, and we're currently caring, by the grace of God, we're caring for 30 children. Most of them don't have parents. If they do have parents, their parents are absolutely non-functional or abusive. And so we have got a safe place for children to live and grow and learn the ways of a loving father. Amen. So we don't really even like to use the word orphan anymore because they're not orphans. They have parents on the earth and they've got a heavenly father as well. So that's how we try to position ourselves. And so when Kim says that we really haven't given up all that much, we really haven't. The thing is, people look at what we gave up. We gave up our household. We gave up all of our household items. We gave up our home and our cars and all that, all the stuff that goes along with it. And I want us to be aware very clearly and plainly that none of that has any eternal value. There's no kingdom value in my TV set or my computer or my iPhone. There's no eternal value in my car. So what is it that God is looking for? Souls. He's looking for his best to be revealed in the earth. He's looking for his light, his glory to be revealed in the earth. The prophet Isaiah said, darkness covers the earth. Look, behold, darkness covers the earth and deep darkness the people. But the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. John chapter 1 says that Jesus was the true light. And he gives light to everyone entering the world. He gives light to everyone entering the world. He gives light to everyone entering the world. So the light of the Creator, the light of the Word of God, the spoken Word of God, when God said, "Let there be light," there was light, and Jesus, as the Word, came forth and spoke, and that light was created. So there's light in each and every one of us. According to John, he put his light in every one of us, not just in the church. It says everyone entering the world, not the church, not the church. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about the world. And then it goes on from there to say, and we quote these scriptures all the time, but I think it's important for us to have understanding. So it says that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not overwhelm it. Didn't we just look at that scripture? Deep darkness covers the people. But he gives light to everyone entering the world, and the light shines where? In the darkness. You see, the light was there before the darkness. What if our job in evangelism, in trying to understand, trying to introduce people to this wonderful Jesus that we know, what if instead of trying to convince people that what we know is true, What if our job is to just take the basket off of the light that's already there? Didn't he say in Luke that that no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket, but that everything would be revealed for what it is?
Yes.
What if it was that simple? What if all we're trying to do is look for the light in people and take the basket off? They don't know. They've been covered up by darkness. They think the darkness is the reality. Pastor Dave said something amazing last night, which was really powerful. And I'm gonna totally mess up what he said, but I'm kind of retranslating it, so I apologize.
It's yours.
The darkness really begins with the self. It's self-focus. Isn't that the sin of Adam and Eve? They decided that they knew better and that they were going to do what seemed right to them. And then when they were called out on it, they're trying to protect themselves and blame someone else, rather than take responsibility for the decisions that they've made and the things that they've done. They said, well, it was the woman you gave me. And she said, well, it was the snake. Well, what about you? What about the decision that you made? So all that comes with self-focus, and that's what comes out of it, is self-focus and self-protection and looking out for number one. And, you know, look, and these are the things in our culture. Look, if you're not going to take care of yourself, I mean, who's going to take care of you? I mean, you got to look out for number one, right? Am I right? Let's be real. We got to take care of ourselves. Got to do things right, and we got to straighten up. That's the only problem with that, is that it's not the heart of the Lord. It has nothing to do with love, because love does not seek its own. Love is not self-focused, self-interested. Love is always looking to benefit someone else. We know that's in 1 Corinthians 13. We also see it in John 3:16. Right?
Yes.
God so loved the world. Again, not the church. He so loved the world. Covered in darkness. Everyone looking out for themselves. Fighting, killing, cheating. Everything that people do. And he so loved you and me in the midst of that, that he gave everything. He gave the radiant glory of heaven to come here to reveal that in us, so that we could be redeemed and back with him. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we really make it complicated. We just really make it about other things that it's not. And it really is just as simple as being redeemed and coming to know the Father. And so that's our job. That's the job that my wife and I have taken on. And I want to be really honest and really clear about some things. I did not start with the best of intentions. I will not throw my wife under the bus, only myself. I did not start with the best of intentions. Lots of pride, lots of self-importance, lots of other kinds of stuff. That's not the heart of the Lord. And, you know, sure, it's doing a good thing. Sure, it's helping people. Sure, all that stuff. But it really, if I'm honest, that at the end of the day, it was a way for me to manipulate the situation to exalt myself so that I would be awesome and that you would know how amazing I am. That was ultimately, if I'm really honest, that was the purpose of the mission, and to help people and maybe to glorify God, maybe. And I'm exaggerating a little bit just to make a point, but it's important to be honest about those things. It's important to be real, but God uses anyone. I mean, what Kim and I have prayed through the years is that God would be glorified in and through us, and that we would represent him well, and that love would be revealed wherever we go. And so we would pray these things, and so as we're praying these prayers, we're becoming transformed. I'm becoming transformed because what's our response? I'm going to come at this a different way. I'm not jumping ship here. What's our response to sin? What if sin gets discovered in our lives? What's our response? Turn away. Whatever that thing was that I was doing, that I was engaged with, that I was finding some sense of fulfillment in, which is darkness, I don't want that. I want Jesus. I want light. I want his grace and glory. And so then we turn away from that. We don't focus on that stuff. We don't pray against pride. We don't pray against arrogance. All we do is we just drop it off. That's not me. That was never meant to be me. I'm looking to Jesus. And if we'll look at him, we become like him. That's scriptural. I think it's in 1 John chapter 3. We'll become like him because we'll see him as he really is. Yeah. Love is perfected in us in this, that we would have boldness in the day of judgment, and that as he is, so are we in this world. So we're ambassadors of Christ. We represent him on the earth. And so we've got these children. We started out with 4 kids in Africa. And we started out with 4. We knew that there were thousands out there, and we're just doing what we know to do. We're just doing what we can do. And we're doing this step by step. And I want to encourage, if there's one thing that I can encourage the body of Christ, is that my wife didn't wake up and say, well, we're going to be missionaries in Africa and we're going to go. And then we bought our plane tickets and got on the plane and went. It was several years of being convinced by the Lord. It's several years of following him step by step to make sure that we're getting to be in the right place. And we've positioned ourselves not geographically, but spiritually. We've positioned ourselves before the Lord in covenant so that he can do whatever he wants. So that he, look, our lives are not our own. So if my life is not my own, then what am I protecting? If our lives are hidden in Christ, is that in Scripture? Mm-hmm. Pastor Dave says it is. Just saying, we've got a yes vote for that is in Scripture. If our lives are hidden in Christ, then it's really not me trying to produce anything. It's not me trying to protect anything. It's as simple as following him. And so then he gets to have his expression through us. So we started with 4 kids. We now have 30 children that we're taking care of. We just had one added recently to us, which was an amazing miracle. And we're doing our best to make disciples. So some of our disciples are our staff, and some of our disciples are the kids that we're raising up. And the staff is starting to get the picture. So it's really challenging working cross-culturally because we think that everybody thinks like us, and if they don't, then they should. Bob is laughing. Maybe because he knows something that my wife and I are still trying to learn. You just can't go in there with a better idea than everybody else and expect it to work because you said so, and because you're smarter than everyone and have better ideas. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't work like that. So we have had to really take our time, understand the hearts of the people, understand the culture, listen to people, and help, and also for us to repent from certain parts of our culture that we find value in that really don't express the culture of God's kingdom or the heart of the Father. And so we have to leave behind our best ideas to pick up the kingdom and to express his heart as best we can. So that's how we make disciples. I don't want to turn a bunch of Africans into people who are hoping to be Americans at some point. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Then they haven't gained anything. So what do you have to offer? So we have offered the Lord ourselves, we've offered our lives, we've offered our time. We've sacrificed, our biggest sacrifice, honestly, is what my wife said, is our family and time with our family and our grandchildren. And but we've offered ourselves to him so that he can do whatever he wants with us. And so then we're no longer trying to figure out how God will bless what we're doing and try to fit God into our box or our ministry. We're following him so that whatever he wants to do, he's going to do. And we're just going to pass out the bread and the fish. He already knows what he's going to do. That's in John, I don't know, chapter 5 or 6. He already knows what he's going to do. All we have to do is get on board with that. It's pretty simple. So our staff, we've been training them for a number of years, and we've been adding to our staff. So we got an email. This is through a series of emails and phone conversations. A couple of weeks ago, Kim and I were in the United States. We got an email from our top staff guy. Andrew is his name, and he's amazing. And he said, we had a situation here. A girl came to the gate, and we have taken her in, and we've got everything handled, so don't worry about it. I'll give you details later. So what we came to find out is there was a 14-year-old girl. She knocked on our gate at 8 o'clock one morning and asked to speak to whoever was in charge. The security guards brought her to Andrew, and as he's getting her story, he's finding out that her parents died 3 years ago. What she said, kind of her introduction to him is, "Hi, my name is so-and-so. I know what you're doing here. I know what you people do here. You take care of children, and I'm coming." She basically said, "I live here now." And he said, "Hold on, let's see what the story is." Her parents died 3 years ago. They were severe alcoholics. She's been passed around to different family members who have also been severe alcoholics and have been beating her for 3 years since her parents have died, and she'd had enough. If you're taking care of children, I'm living with you. And so when I talked to Andrew and Isaac, our two staff guys, I said, "Okay, make sure that you have a meeting with the staff and tell the staff that, you know, she's come from a difficult situation. She's not going to know how things operate here. She's not going to know how things are running, so we've got to have a lot of grace for her." And he said, "We already did that." I said, "Okay, make sure that you have a meeting with our kids. Make sure that they understand and they remember how difficult and uncomfortable it was the first time they came to live with us. And make sure that this new girl feels welcome." He said, "I already did that." "Okay, Andrew, you got to make sure that you do the paperwork. We've got to have paperwork so that there's no question about, you know, how these things are going. Make sure that you get documents signed and all that kind of stuff. Make sure that a church gets the copy." Been there, done that. So the amazing part of this story is that all of our input, all of the things that we needed to instruct them to do, they no longer need our instruction.
Come on.
This is making disciples in the nations. Teaching them to do all the things that I've asked you to do. Hallelujah. So we have our older kids in Africa are also wanting to work with us. So they've caught the heart and the vision also. We do prayer and worship several times a week with our kids. So we sit outside under the African sky and pray and worship. Some of them, Andrew and Isaac have been encouraging them to share the word of God. So now it's not just our staff who preaches at our kids. They encourage the kids to pick out a scripture, share something from that scripture. And there have been arguments recently about who gets to share the word of God tonight. So we're seeing transformation. We're seeing transformation in a nation. We have been praying for South Sudan for a number of years. We've asked our kids to pray. We had a small prayer movement happening in our compound. We asked our kids, we said, bring your friends to pray. So we would have anywhere around 50 kids every night coming to our home to pray. And this went on and on and on. It went on long after Kim and I had left. We had gone to Europe for some time. And the kids continued in prayer. And before we left, the kids had said, you know what, no one has ever taught us that we could pray for a nation. No one ever taught us that we could pray for our nation. No one taught us that we could pray for peace. And they thanked us profusely for teaching them to pray. And then they just continued. And what eventually happened after several months of praying, I don't know if many of you know this, but South Sudan is the newest nation in the world. They split from Sudan. And then about 2 years after the formation of South Sudan, they began a civil war in South Sudan, which was tribal and ethnic and really ugly. And that war is ongoing. There still is fighting to this day, although after our kids had been praying for several months, night after night, they did finally sign a peace agreement within South Sudan to bring the two parties together. Yes. So the warring parties have been brought together. We actually were able to record our kids praying, and we sent the recordings of those prayers to someone who was in the meetings for the peace negotiations, and he was able to play those recordings of our children praying before leaders who are negotiating for peace in South Sudan. Jesus is Lord. A peace agreement was signed. I'll skip all the details of the story, but some months later, what happened is we got a visit at our home in Ethiopia from some chaplains and a couple of security guys. And they said, we need help. We're coming to you because we're looking for spiritual guidance. We're like a valley of dry bones and we've lost all hope. They said, our people are tired of war. We're tired of war. We're tired of fighting. And what we've realized is that we've been trying to take our country by force. And it's never going to happen. And unless we can repent and lead this nation from God's perspective and in a godly way, history's going to repeat itself and we're going to go right back to war again. We need to understand how to forgive. We need to understand how to receive forgiveness. We need to understand how to repent, and we need your input. Would you come? So, long story short, we rode in a van until the road stopped, and then we hiked 2 hours into the middle of nowhere, into South Sudan, and we met with 40 generals, and they really were looking for spiritual input. We did a lot of teaching. We spent a weekend there, 3 days teaching on repentance and forgiveness. And I think the crowning moment of that time was that my wife had said, look, you can't will yourself to forgive. These are strong men. These are generals in the military. They're strong. They've been through a lot. They've been through more than any of us have, I can guarantee it. And she said, you can't will yourself to do this. It's got to be by the grace of God. It's got to be the Spirit, the Holy Spirit moving in you, teaching you and helping you to forgive. And so she said, I just want to suggest that we cry out to God and ask him to show us how to forgive and to lead us in that forgiveness so that there would be a genuine move of release and freedom. And these men of authority, generals, at the instructions of a woman, got on their knees in the dirt and asked the Holy Spirit to come teach them to forgive.
Come on.
Now, these men, because of the peace negotiations that are ongoing, some of these men will be reinstated in top governmental positions in the capital city in South Sudan. And they had said that they want to increase the training. They would like more people to be trained. So they're inviting us. The leadership of this military is inviting us to other military bases in the middle of nowhere to train people. We've also been invited in the future to the capital to train the military in peace and reconciliation and forgiveness. They're looking for spiritual training. They're looking for godly input. So this is not something that we could manufacture. This is not something that we could do. But we have positioned ourselves to say yes to the Lord, no matter what that looks like. In the face of fear, in the face of discomfort, in the face of any obstacle that comes, we have done our best, and we haven't always been 100% in that, but we have done our best to say yes to Jesus, no matter what the cost. And this is the opportunity that we all have as the body of Christ, as the embodiment of Christ in the earth. It's that scripture that I quoted earlier in 1 John chapter 4. We represent him. We're ambassadors of Christ. We, as he is, so are we in this world. We're the only representation that Christ has on the earth. You're the A team. There is no B team. So let's get out there and let's introduce people to this wonderful Jesus who forgives, who loves. Let's introduce people to this God who loves and who says, go and tell everyone you've been infused with glory so that the world would know that Jesus was sent by the Father for redemption, for love, for grace and mercy. You've been infused with this power. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit and the glory of God to reveal him in the earth. Will you go? And here's my encouragement. The night that Jesus said that, I'm going to close here because we're close on time, I think.
We're there.
I'm going to close with this, and I'll be really brief. Jesus, when Jesus spoke to them about giving them his glory so that he would be revealed as being the truth sent by the Father, that night, that very night that Jesus spoke that message to his disciples, they all betrayed him. They all ran away. They all said, no, it's not worth it. But they all came back. So I don't care if you have a no in your heart today.
Come on, Brad.
If you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to get there.
Amen.
And you're going to reveal God's glory on the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Please, I want to say one more thing. Pray and see if God would show you where to go. We really are looking for laborers. We're looking for help. If it's with us, that would be awesome. You can get in touch with us on our website or out there at the table. If not with us and with someone else, God bless you. Just go. Just reveal his glory. It's not about anyone's ministry. It's about revealing who he is. So, the end.
Bob, would you come up and let's just pray. Scoot together. I want to commend this couple to you.
Sorry. Yeah. Amen. We agree.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you're part of the sending, you're part of the going. Might be some finances. They're going to. Yeah, come on up. Your part might be sowing into their ministry. Can I just commend that this is good ground to sow into?
We agree.
You know, we appreciate your tithes here, but I believe there's tithes and offerings. And you serve the poor and the poorest of the poor through your offerings. Can I just commend this ministry and this couple to you?
We agree.
Stretch your hands towards them and let's bless them. Father, we can't really just bless them with your favor. They already have your favor. Lord, we can't just bless them with your anointing. They already carry your anointing. But Father, we can bless them with the grace that's on this house. We can extend the right hand of fellowship. And we can release love that we carry. And we can release the favor that we carry. And Lord, we just want to bless Brad and Kim, their work in Greece among the poorest of the poor, the displaced, people being trafficked, being prostituted. Their work in Romania among the gypsies that are lifelong addicts. The other nations of the world, God, that they're going to be setting their feet in.
Yeah, we agree.
Father, we just want to say yes and bless them in the name of Jesus.
Yeah, we do. I see the two of you, and it's like you're checking out the horizon, and there's going to come to you a fresh vision for the next step. And I know it sounds like you have your plate full. But there's an apostolic grace that is on the two of you to be more of a forward-looking builder than a hands-on maintainer. And there, just look to the horizon, and he's going to bring men and women alongside of you who will do the stuff that you've taught them to do, and I know you're already working with some, but there's gonna come some to you that are already trained and they're already ready. They are like they've been prepared. It says in the Old Testament that stones were brought from a site afar off and built into the temple, and there was not the sound of his chisel on the job site because they came already prepared to slip into the position in the wall that they were to take. And God is sending people to you who are already prepared. The Lord has his eye upon you, and he has been watching you. He has seen your heart. He has seen your faith. faithfulness. He has seen the shift in motive that you have walked through. And he is going to bring men and women, American, yes, but other nations as well, alongside you, who will say, we have been looking for a place to do what we know God has called us to do, and we already kind of know how to do it. Look to the horizon.
Amen. So they will, they might be, I don't know what they're going to do. They might be up here praying. They might be out of the table. They have a table out back, and we just encourage you to sow into that. If God, if that's what God's speaking to you, there's no pressure. But we just, again, really love and appreciate this couple. So we are going to, you can, thank you. Thank you so much. We are going to, yeah. Isn't that fun? Just to be on board with somebody that really carries the heartbeat of the Lord and the kingdom, have kingdom vision, kingdom understanding. It's good. We're going to have teams up here. If you want prayer, if you need somebody to stand with you, if you just need somebody to laugh with you and stand in agreement with you, we'll have teams up here, prayer teams. Come on up after the service. There's coffee out in the lobby. Just go on and love one another over a cup of coffee. Encourage you to take your fellowship outside, because there's things happening at the altar up here. But take your fellowship outside the walls here. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for the feast that we have enjoyed today. God, that we go as a people who are satisfied with your goodness, God, that we've seen your goodness here today. And Lord, this is just a tip of the iceberg of what you want to do in each one of our lives as we go, declaring and being the goodness of God to those that don't know your goodness. So come, Holy Spirit, empower your people to release the glory of God purposefully, intentionally, following your lead, in Jesus' name. Amen.